Good evening and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. My name's Dave and I'll be hosting this portion of the show this evening. This evening it's my pleasure to welcome Sherry from San Francisco. Sherry, are you there?
Hi Dave, I'm here.
All right, you made it.
Yay!
Yeah, for anyone who wasn't listening last week, we had a chance to talk about what we're going to talk about tonight, but you didn't because you were desperately trying to get on in the background. So had a successful second attempt here.
Yeah, and it's, again, such a great practice opportunity, just waiting on the line to see what would happen.
See what would happen, yep. So you're here to tell us about an ebook you created.
I am, yes, and I'm especially happy for a couple of reasons. One is because I feel like a lot of it sprung from our practice. And another reason is that part of the proceeds are being donated back to Living Compassion.
Yeah, so it's kind of practice on both sides of it, isn't it?
It is, yes. And I'm you know, just so grateful to what the practice has given me, and it's wonderful whenever something comes forth from me that I feel like I can give back a little bit.
Yeah, that's my experience, too. It's so much fun to see the kind of the fruits of practice in oneself.
Yeah.
And it's especially fun when those fruits of practice can manifest as something that can go back out and to serve practice also, in very much in the way it sounds like that your book does.
Well, I sure hope so. I really do. The book is called Present Perfect, and it's the tagline is, "It really is the thought that counts." And it's about giving gifts that really connect people to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And
Like what would be like maybe one of your favorite examples?
Well, my very favorite example from the book is actually the first one in the book, which is something called the love list.
Uh-huh.
And what that is basically someone just sits down and, you know, it could take maybe an hour, and you just focus on the person that you want to give a gift to, and you just really think about all the things you love about them. And it could be funny things, it could be sweet things, it could be favorite memories, it could be things they do for you, it could be, you know, anything at all that drops in. Mm-hmm. And I just really encourage people just to really brainstorm and let things come to them. And then they can just be written down in a list form. It could be presented like maybe with some artwork. Some people have cut them up into little pieces and they put them in jars and they call it a joy jar.
Wow, that is so great. I'm as you're speaking, I'm imagining receiving a gift like that. And oh my gosh, I could just imagine how moving that would be.
Oh, and, you know, the thing about it is that it is also so incredibly moving to make, so that
mm-hmm.
it's like it's twofold. It's like the person, as you can imagine, just sitting in that kind of love for someone is a gift in itself. And then to be able to give it to someone and see how it moves them, it's amazing. And it doesn't cost a dime. You know, it's not about that.
No, well, it's not about that at all. Yeah, I mean, if you compare giving a gift like that to, you know, what I think a lot of us do in a situation is, well, I don't know, I need to get something, so I'll just run out and buy something that they probably don't need just so I can have something. It's just so different to give that kind of, and this, I think, is maybe the place where it starts to dovetail with practice, to give that consciousness to it and to really get present with, you know, oneself, it sounds like, in that connection that's there with that person, and just let the love be there and let the, you know, the love and the appreciation be the gift in a really, in, you know, kind of an intentional way that's different from, you know, I think the way we normally go about it.
Yeah, and Dave, that's exactly it. And I mean, that's a lot of like the place that the book sprung from was really that it's like, I feel like not everywhere, but a lot of places in our culture that has gotten lost, that the whole purpose of a gift is really for us to really be present to one another, to see one another, to fully appreciate each other. And I was looking around and feeling like, wow, this feels like it's getting lost. Like people want quality time. They want to know that they're seen.
And I would project that seeing in you, you know, having those kind of insights, comes to a large extent from your practice of seeing. You know,
well, absolutely, yes, 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 yes. And it is, you know, for me, I think that was part of the fun too of coming up with a lot of the different ideas. Was just that, like really sitting with like, wow, what is it to be present for someone? You know, Howard, what are the different ways we can do that? What are the different ways that we can appreciate one another, you know, that don't cost? I mean, about 60 of the things in the book don't cost anything. And then there's another like 30 that are under $20. And then there are a few that do cost some money. But really, it's mostly about like, wow, how can we gift people in a new way?
Yeah, and I love that. I would bet you that every one of those things in your book has that element of, you know, I'm giving to someone else, but in that, I'm also giving to me.
Yep, absolutely. And I think to me, that's the secret. That's really like one of the big secrets about gift giving is that it's a two-way street, totally. That in the process of giving, obviously, we're receiving, which is our whole practice, right? That's, yes.
Yeah, because, of course, you know, you have to look, if you bring in something like projection, you'd have to look and see, well, you know, even are we giving anything to anyone else? I mean, we might hand over the, you know, the joy jar, I think that's what you called it, that has the little things in it.
Right.
But, you know, it's really hard to know kind of what effect that will have on another person. But, boy, is it going to have the effect on the person who's offering that gift? Because, you know, everything about that really would require a person to get present. You know, you've got to let go of whatever else you've got going on and really get in touch with that connection and that feeling of love, and then just, you know, sort of like just allowing that to flow through. I mean, that's what we're trying to practice for ourselves all the time.
That's exactly it. You know, and the thing that I sort of told Jen last week, that one of the inspirations that came to me after I wrote the book was how it tied into our audio mentoring program.
Oh, good. I was hoping you'd bring that up. Yeah, I heard about that, so I'm eager to hear what you've done.
Well, and it's related to exactly what you were just saying, which is at one point, I don't know why, I just got the idea that I was going to start recording some of my love list to people into my player. And I tell you what, it is so powerful. I started, actually, I think what really happened is I was having a little tiff with someone. You know, I was feeling miffed and there was something going on. And I thought, now I wonder what would happen if I read that love list and listened to it. And you know what, there's just no way to stay identified.
No, I can't imagine a person could survive that and still be identified. I mean, so it doesn't matter. The love list would be for someone else, supposedly, but it doesn't really matter, does it? Because the place it comes from in you is exactly what you need to hear for yourself, probably.
That's exactly it. And I think you're right. Like, so it's all projection anyway, right? So if I'm projecting that I'm mad at somebody for something, I may as well listen to all the reasons I love them.
Uh-huh.
You know, and just be in that, you know. It's really amazing. And it feels so good, you know, and it's also, I realize, like, whenever they pop up, you know, sometimes I just listen to the recordings and they just sort of randomly pop up. It's just also another gift to me. Like, wow, that person's in my life. I can't believe they're so amazing, you know?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to try that. I don't actually have anybody that I can think of that I need to give a gift, but I'm going to try it anyway and just start thinking of some people and start to, you know, writing down just exactly like what you're saying, the things I love and appreciate about them and saying into my recording. I think that would be really fun.
Well, then the thing is, too, what I was thinking is I have a whole bunch of these in my recording now, and it's like if, you know, if the occasion does come up, and it doesn't have to be their birthday or a holiday. I mean, we can always give a gift when we want, right? But it's like if it felt like, oh, this is a great time for this person to hear these things, then we just jot them down. You know, you could listen to the recording, and, you know, they're already there. I keep building on them over time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I thought is that I really want to encourage people to do is to do it for themselves, too, because the love list doesn't just have to be for someone else.
Oh, that is so good. Uh-huh. You know, what just occurred to me, I mean, so there's the recording part of it, so we can write a love list and do the recording, but we can even go so far as, I think I'm going to try this. It's like, you know, writing them on little pieces of paper, putting them in the jar and pulling them out one a day or, you know, those kind of things.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. On the Simply Celebrate website, we do have a free download that people could do so they can, if they want something where they can jot them down in a list. And it just occurred to me today to encourage people to do that. Like, wow, do this for yourself. You know, print out this download, fill it in for yourself, and post it somewhere.
Yeah, that is so great. Yeah, conditioning, you just better watch out with this one.
That's right. Better watch out.
That's good. Before we go, Sherry, I just want to mention for anybody who's out there listening, it's hard to imagine at this point, but there might be some folks who are unfamiliar with the recording practice that we're talking about.
Oh, yes.
Sherry's new book is all about that, and there's techniques and also 30-day sort of program at the back to help folks make a recording. So if anybody's kind of unfamiliar with that or unsure, pick up Sherry's new book. You can email Keep It Simple, our mail order business, and pick one up and then see what this is all about. It's really, really powerful.
I could vouch for that.
Mm-hmm. Any more before we go?
Well, no, there's just dozens and dozens of ideas in the ebook. And again, part of the proceeds go to Living Compassion. And so I hope people might consider just taking a peek. Like I said, at our website, simplycelebrate.net, folks can download the free download for the love list and check out. There's a video there that tells people some other ideas of how to do that.
So that's how people would find out about this, is simplycelebrate.net.
That's right. And I actually put something on the homepage when they go there that says, if you're a listener to Open Air, click here, and that'll take them right to the free download.
Oh, awesome. That's great. Cool.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot for sharing this with us this evening, Sherry. And also thanks a lot for just allowing your practice to manifest in that way. It's really inspiring to hear, to hear practice working like that. Thank you.
Well, I'm so grateful. I can't say enough. This practice has really been an amazing, amazing force in my life. So deep gratitude and deep gassho to all of you.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, well, good night, Sherry. And now we'll pass it off to Michael and the other Sherry.
Great. Have a great show.
Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. Wasn't that fun?
That was very fun. It's almost ready to get out the Kleenex. I'm so inspired now.
I know. You, Dave mentioned it. Well, both Dave and Sherry did, but it is just fabulous to see how our practice is manifesting in people's lives in these really creative ways. I know now we have several people in the practice who have written books, that are inspired by practice and what Sherry is doing. Too many Sherrys here in this one conversation, or maybe just the right amount. I don't know, the right number. But what Sherry has done with the Simply Celebrate and just all of the ways that she has come up with to help people be more spontaneous and appreciate and celebrate the joy in their lives. It's really good.
Great. Great. You know what I loved about that conversation?
Hmm.
A couple of things. One, the technology worked.
Yes, that's always fun and exciting,
always,
isn't it?
Yes. And I tend to take it for granted, of course, until it doesn't work.
Yes.
And another is our family made a lot of love lists for Christmas to give to our close family.
Oh.
And it was a big hit. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, I bet it was a big hit.
Yes.
That's wonderful. I bet the kids loved it.
Yes. The kids, actually, we helped make them for grandma and grandpa. And
yeah. Well, they would have a lot of good ideas. That's a wonderful idea for a family tradition.
Yes.
When the little ones get old enough to do it for the older folks, and the older folks having a chance to give something that the little ones are going to enjoy for their whole lives.
Yes.
Really lovely.
And the final inspiration that occurred to me during their conversation was that I could make them for my children.
Yes.
Because I occasionally, very occasionally, have less than generous thoughts about them.
No.
And I could put the recording on to listen to it to remind me of how I genuinely feel about them.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and that's the great tie-in that Dave and Sherry got to with the recording practice. It does all work together beautifully because we all know what it's like when egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate has us, and we have those less than loving thoughts and sometimes words and actions, and then what life looks like and what love looks like when we're at center with our heart. So absolutely, to get those down so that we're not confused for a moment about who's talking, what's talking, when, what it means, who we really are, what that is. Very important.
Exactly. Very fun. Jerry, I have some announcements here.
Mm-hmm.
On Saturday and Sunday, February 19th and 20th, you will be part of the Being and Becoming virtual retreat with Andrew Cohen.
I think that it is the case that I'm participating in that for an hour on the 19th.
Okay, on Saturday.
Yeah. Just to be clear with folks about that. So it's a very small part of, sounds like a very large event. I actually know nothing about it. I'm going to talk with him tomorrow to get more details, but that is my understanding. It'll just be an hour on Saturday.
Great. And that'll be accessible by phone and over the internet worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there are a lot more details on the Living Compassion website as well.
Uh-huh. And his, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And on Friday, February 25th, you'll be in San Francisco at the Crystal Way Bookstore for a book signing and talk about what you practice is what you have.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of all I talk about these days. But since we're always different in each moment, it turns out to be a different conversation. So that's good.
Yes. And then you'll be speaking at the East Bay Open Circle in Berkeley, and that's on March 20th at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, There Is Nothing Wrong With You. There'll be a retreat at the monastery April 16th to 23rd, and there are still openings.
Wow. Those won't last long. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if I still have current information in this moment.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy spring at the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to remind folks that if they can please keep the conversation to one topic and 5 minutes, that would be really helpful.
Yes.
Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
First caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Tracy.
Tracy, how are you?
Hi.
I'm doing okay. Super happy. I'm always unsurprised that I got on first. I'm super happy. So, let me just collect myself for a second.
Right. Just stop and take it in that we're actually speaking here.
Yeah. I'm just so used to being on the call and not even getting through. And now I'm number one.
Uh-huh.
But, gosh, Sherry, I have been really enjoying the recording and listening.
Good.
And also still experiencing a real slippery slope with something that I talked to you about late this fall, and that is like the process for me around change, and the process being, being a 9 on the Enneagram, I can fall into that, the duality of having a lot of excitement towards something and then running into inertia. So there's that aspect, and then there's the aspect of general resistance, and then
the shared quality among all the Enneatypes.
Yeah, and then the whole, I know what we talked about in the fall was, like, so many things, like the content pieces of my life, like work and relationship and where I live, aspects just don't, I feel like I'm kind of outgrowing them or I'm ready for something different. And then the whole thing of the difference between my will be done versus I will be done. So really trying to surrender to see what's trying to come in. And then something comes in and there's some excitement and some steps are taken. And, then the energy kind of flattens out. Like either I'm the energy, coming from the other end is not meeting my energy. Or so I kind of fall into this roller coaster between things moving, getting stuck, not sure, do I push through it or am I getting the message to put my energy somewhere else, or
May I ask you about that right there?
Yes.
Can I ask you about that? So you mentioned three primary places, where you live, your work, and relationship.
Yep.
Is there, with one of those, is there information that has kept coming up and gone through this cycle that you just described?
Yes. Well, there's two. There's one, I can speak a real tangible example, and there's one that's not as such a tangible example. Like relationship, you know, the coolest thing happened is right after we had that discussion this fall, you know, I thought, gosh, you know, just surrender and let things happen. And this person I met, you know, more than a decade ago, just out of the blue contacted me, and we got together. And so we've spent, you know, we're in different states and we've seen each other a couple of times. And there's a place of, you know, it's a nice connection, and he's like more of a guarded person than I am, you know, more of a, not too available. Or, and so there's the dance of that. And so I keep thinking it's not personal, let it go, you know, just keep showing up and just, you know, respond to whatever's there. And so it feels like the practice opportunity, I am showing up and responding. I haven't gone into a story. And then, you know, just the other day I thought, you know, at some point, when do I take that information and just say, well, this really isn't what I'm looking for anyway, or is it just here is what is being presented, and I guess just learn what I can from it, and then maybe just.
Okay, let me ask you about that. So have there been other relationships where you got to this point and you were getting information that said, this is really not what I'm looking for, and you pushed through and it turned out you were actually right down the road, that wasn't what you were looking for?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's note that one. So now where you live, where you work, what's going on there? Any repeating information that you can think of?
Yeah, huge repeating information. So I'm self-employed, and I don't have that much interaction with people these days with my job. And so the isolating aspect of my job, I feel like I've kind of outgrown that. Like it used to suit me more than it does now. And the place I get stuck is, you know, I see the good parts of it, you know, and that gives me flexibility, and I can, you know, I can connect with people and do more passionate things outside of it because of the flexibility. And so that's where I run into the loop with it. And when I'm actually doing the action of it, it's that whole body feeling of, oh my gosh, if this is my life, like, get me out. Like, I'm just done. But I don't even know,
Okay,
and then,
so you get information regularly that says, oh my God, get me out of here. And then the conversation starts up about, well, yeah, but, you know, there are all of these pluses. You get to, you have a lot of flexibility. You da 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 da. Is that pretty much the cycle?
It's pretty much the cycle, yeah.
Okay. So shall I just come perilously close to giving you advice? I'll just tell you a story. How about that? I'll just tell you a story, and you can draw your own conclusions about whether there's any advice in it. Okay.
Sure.
So what usually happens with us is that we have an insight, we have awareness, we have clarity about something. And it comes to us in that non-thinking kind of way. It's just a general, it's a feeling, it's a knowing, it's a, you know, I'm done here, that kind of thing. And then, as you've described, the conversation starts. Well, yeah, but, you know, and we get talked into leaving things the way they are because there are all these really good rational reasons for doing that. And then the person who is living the life gets to another place of, oh, God, get me out of here. And there's a clarity that this is my life. I don't want to do this. This is not making me happy. Well, yeah, but. So for me, the thing to attend to is that the clarity comes without a conversation, and the confusion, which that is, that what follows, comes with a conversation.
Yeah.
So if you weren't getting that, well, yeah, but conversation, you would know what you were going to do.
Right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and you know, my heart knows where it, like, the, what direction it wants to lead, and then there's the whole conversation of, but blah 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 blah, and then you know, it's conditioning pulls the words of conditioning and going, well, you know, it's your process. You're just resisting your job. It has nothing to do with your job. It's just your process of resistance, and so it just starts feeding all the practice words in there, making it feel like.
Yes. The only difference that you can attend to is the conversation that comes at you is you. Well, you're just resisting. This is your process. And if you notice, like, say, somebody like me, I've never had a conversation like that with you.
Correct.
I would never say to you, well, Tracy, you know, this is just your process. You're just resisting, you know, because that's not practice. That's a different voice.
Good point. It wouldn't be kind. It wouldn't be trusting my adequacy.
That's right. So I'm going to suggest that the sequence is there's clarity. The karmic conversation starts. Well, yeah, but. And self-hate chimes in with, this is what's wrong with you that's causing you to have your life in this condition.
Right. Or self-hate chimes in there with, let's just do all these distractions to make us forget about how much we don't want to do this, to make it bearable enough for us to do this.
Yes. And then beat you up for all of the distractions.
Exactly.
So my encouragement always to folks is at some point, just say, yeah, but I don't care. I'm going to do what I think my heart wants to do, just to see what happens. And then stick to it, no matter what the conversation is. And you know, I mean, you could write out the conversation before you made the decision. Right? So it's not like the conversation is going to give you any new information. So when it arises, you just say, yes, I'm sure that that's absolutely true and brilliant. However, what I'm doing is this.
Okay. So it's just snipping.
Yep. And those old karma nippers. And, you know, you can do it with anything. You could do it with your job, and you could do it with a lot of smaller things that probably the same process traps you in. You know, when we break it down into the essentials, it's the same process used on you, everybody, over and over and over and over. It's how we are closed off from the intelligence that animates us. The clarity is there. And then the karmic conversation about, well, yeah, but that doesn't make sense, and that's not smart. What's going to happen if this? And you can't just do you've got to be sensible. You know, you're not getting any younger. Have you noticed that? And what if, so that's how life doesn't get to guide us. Conditioned mind guides us, and, of course, it guides us unerringly into suffering.
Yes, I'm totally with you, and I think I need to be extra observant to the voices that bring the practice lingo in that get me to start dissecting into, well, you know, like, just look at your whole resistance.
So you can ask yourself now, is this the kind of thing Sherry would say to me? and if not, then you can probably guess it's not coming from a very authentic place.
Okay.
Very good.
Good. And it just, I mean, it seems so cut and dry and clear, and yet, I mean, just the brilliance of the system, I guess, and the reason why I guess we call it practice is it's just, it's like I see it and I have the experience of when life just drops in and trusting that intelligence, and yet I keep getting caught. So I guess
let me ask you the $64 million question. Do you have all of this on your recorder?
This whole conversation and back and forth.
Yep.
And
yep.
Yeah, I have pieces of it, and I've been focusing more on the duality of like looking at the different sides than more on just the snipping of it.
Nope. I would encourage you to get on your recorder exactly how the process happens for you. You get
okay.
You have a clarity about something, what the voices say to talk you out of it, what happens
okay.
to you as a result of it, how you feel. Okay, the number, you can even record the number of times that the voices have given you that same exact information and kept you in situation after situation after situation that you did not want to be in and were not good for you.
Oh, I really heard that.
Good.
Sherry, I was just like, oh, yeah, that eight-year relationship, how many years was I in that too long?
Oh, that would be eight.
Like, oh, yeah, I know this process really, really well. Oh,
yeah.
More well than I thought before this phone conversation.
Yeah. Very good.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Thank you. I'm so glad I got on. Okay, great.
All right, and let me know how you do. Don't let
okay.
us talk you into, you know, another cul-de-sac.
Okay, good.
All right. Thanks, Tracy.
Thank you. Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Porchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there? Next caller, are you there? Okay, let's move on to another one. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, it's Chris from Brighton City, North Carolina.
Hey, I missed the name.
It's Chris over in Brighton City.
Oh, Chris, hi, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Great, thank you very much. What's going on?
Well, something that I've been looking at or something that really allows me to see the voices is when I find myself in situations where I feel very vulnerable.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there are situations where I intentionally put myself, that I intentionally put myself in where I feel extremely vulnerable, and the voices are very easy to identify, and I can see them. It's almost like looking at them from, you know, a separate point of view. You know, waiting on to get on the call tonight is another great opportunity to hear the voices come up. And I would like to know how I can work on seeing the voices, or, you know, being able to identify them when I'm not in a situation where I feel incredibly vulnerable or, you know, an extraordinary situation like that.
Uh-huh. So let me just make sure I'm with you. So when you're in these very vulnerable situations, voices are loud and obvious and easily identifiable.
Correct.
And that, I'm going to project here, is not the easiest time to work with them.
It's definitely not the easiest time, but it's the easiest time to identify them for sure.
Right. But do you want to identify them at other times so that you'll have a different way of working with being with yourself as the voices are there? What are you trying to accomplish with the...
Well, you know, I know that they're going on all the time, and occasionally I'll pick them up, but they seem to be at such a low level or running so far in the background, you know, as I go through my daily life, that I don't think I'm picking up on them.
Oh, you mean, okay, so not specific voices or not voices around a particular issue, but just voices in general you're not hearing.
Correct.
I gotcha. Okay. And so what would you say as you're going around in the world, what is the focus of your attention primarily?
You know, I try to be focused on the task at hand. And I can see myself get distracted, you know, kind of like when I'm sitting and thoughts come in to distract me. And I'm aware of that happening, but I'm not aware of, like, a negative connotation to that. I'm aware that I'm being taken away from what I'm focusing on.
Uh-huh. And if you intensify your commitment to not being distracted, are you aware of the voices changing their tactics?
Not tactics so much. And I don't even really hear the voices. It's almost more of a physical thing where I feel myself being pulled away to, you know, instead of focusing my attention, actually physically moving and focusing on something else.
Uh-huh. Well, the thing that occurs to me is that okay, just generally speaking, and then you'll look to see what of this is or is not true for you. But generally speaking, the voices are not particularly troublesome if we are primarily going along with what they want. So egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, needs a certain amount of time and energy for its maintenance.
Right.
And that happens, of course, when we go unconscious or when we give our attention to it. So it wants us to be in conversations about something, you know, primarily focused on what's wrong and what's lacking. And so if that can go on in a sort of a low-level dissatisfaction or that sort of thing, then that can often be enough maintenance for it. With periodic, and it sounds like you give it those periodic spikes of real drama for it to rev up over, right? So so you're there vulnerable, it comes at you, it's getting a big meal of energy in that. So my best encouragement would be simply to up your commitment to interfering with its hold on you.
Okay.
So that can be things like when people make outrageous decisions like, I'm not going to watch television for a month, or I'm not going to play video games, or I'm not going to check email before 3 p.m., or, you know, whatever it is that is a way that it has of controlling the person's attention, to mess with that can really set it off.
Okay.
Yeah. And so then you're going to be forcing it more into the foreground, and you'll get to see it, but it still won't be in that highly charged area that you're now engaged with it in.
Right. Okay. I will definitely look at that then.
All right. Good. And let me know, because I love experiments.
All right. Thank you very much for everything.
Thanks, Chris. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Chris. And Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Andrea calling.
Hey, Andrea.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going?
Oh, good. I'm glad to get on the show, and was very happy to see everybody at your best year yet. So.
Yes, that was very fun. I thought I was seeing things, actually, but yeah, it was great.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's going on now that you're home?
Well, calling in to check in. It's actually been 5 weeks since I called instead of 6 weeks, but just wanted to kind of check in, and I guess what I've been noticing is there's a really great quote that I keep thinking of that you gave, which is, I can't remember how it goes exactly, something like, if you want to cry or be angry or whatever, there'll be something to cry, angry, or whatever about.
Yes, yes. As long one of the ways I often say it is, as long as you're willing to feel guilty, there'll always be something to feel guilty about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that quote, and I don't know, you know, I think that's kind of like the heart of what I've been seeing, is that the past, the holidays and the whole last month and a half, I think this conditioning has just been trying to find something to suffer over.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Yes. Isn't that the darndest thing? I mean, we hear that, but it's kind of unbelievable, isn't it? You mean that life going well is what's going to set off self-hate? Yes, that's exactly right. It says it wants to be happy, but only as long as that desire to be happy will be a source of unhappiness. If you actually start being happy, well, then that's a big no-no.
Yeah, and what I noticed is just that, like the whole holidays, it was just, whoa, I was really deep in the hole, you know, deep in that hole of conditioning, and it really sucked me in. And I think part of it was kind of getting out of my routine and traveling, you know, traveling and doing all these things. I'm not, like, when I get out of my routine, it really gets in there.
Yes. It likes routine. It likes people to go to sleep. It gets cranky when it has to be in new circumstances, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Often is the case. So it's just a constant, what's wrong with this, what's wrong with that, what's wrong. And, of course, it has new things to compare against the old things. Now, as soon as you get home, of course, then it starts comparing the old things with those previously new things, right?
Yeah.
In other words, once you get home, then it was actually the travel was fabulous.
Yeah, it's actually funny, you know, that actually hasn't been coming up for me. It hasn't been
good.
Using that. Yeah, you know, today what was really interesting is this real old conditioning that comes up, which is this basically that I don't measure up and that I'm not, you know, it was basically there was some content today that kind of brought it up. And And when I was facilitating myself when I was walking home from the train station, and what came up was that, boy, I'm so tired of this boring conditioning. And then I noticed there were two things that were grabbing me, that process and also the urgency process, like I can't do everything I need to. And what I noticed was that the urgency process was grabbing me more when I was actually facilitating myself. But then when I got home, what I saw was there didn't seem to be much conversation. It was more just feelings, like feeling like I'd gotten kind of kicked in the gut or something. And so instead of just keeping it in, I talked to Johan about it. You know, I told him everything that was happening and all the conditioning. And it was just so amazing to get it out and tell him this conditioning is happening. It was so great, you know?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, though. Were you running your recorder at the same time?
Gosh, I should have. I'm running my recorder right now.
Oh, good, because I was just talking to somebody who was telling me about essentially doing the same thing with her husband. And she was just having this terrible time, and she went in and said, you know, I just need to talk to you about this. And she said he has this gift of just listening and not saying anything, but making her think he's saying something. So she gets finished with the conversation and just feels immensely better. And, you know, then he'll say, now I just want to point out, you know, I actually never said a word there. And I said, that's great, because he's actually acting as a recorder. So, because that's what we can do with the recorder, right? You turn it on, you talk through what happened, you can listen to it, and then as you listen to what you said, the wisdom of the mentor, you know, the clarity and intelligence that animates you, is available to you. So this way, when you talk to a person, it's great. It's wonderful that he's there and available in that way. But there's a way in which then it's gone for you. You know, then it repeats the next time. And because you haven't been listening to it, it's not as familiar to you. The chances are greater that it'll hook you again.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I think, so what I've done is I have this whole list of tapes, like, for different processes, and I've made them into a playlist on my iPod.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's funny because, you know, I think I've had the process and I've recorded all about the process, and then it's like, oh, wow, but there's this other subtle thing that I need to add.
Yes, and I'm glad that you say that, because that is true for all of us. What conditioning will make us believe is, I did that. I recorded that. I listened to that. But when we stay with it, you know, if we go to a therapist, say, and we tell the therapist something, and then the situation, a very similar situation comes up again, we don't say, I hope to God, but I already talked to my therapist about that. So, you know, what we know is, I'm going to the therapist because I have this issue, and I'm trying to get more and more subtle to get to the bottom of it so that I can find freedom about it. And the self-mentoring process is the same thing. Each time we go through it, we see a little bit more. It's a little deeper than it was. And what we're going for is, you know, the old Buddhist image of untying that knot. So we get to the bottom of it. We get to that first impulse, that first karmic whatever that started us down this track. We untie that knot. We smooth that scarf out, and that piece of karma is finished.
You know, it's so amazing what comes up when you say that is just like if it's all in my head without going out loud, the knot gets tighter. But just the act of it being out loud, it's just amazing that it's the opposite.
Yes, you are exactly right. That is exactly the case. The most astounding nonsense is perfectly believable when it always resides inside the head. But as soon as we get it outside, and especially when we hear it outside, which again is the magic of either reflective listening or especially the recording, because the recording makes it available to hear over and over again. It really reinforces for us that, well, that in fact is nonsense. I actually can't believe that I believe that. And then we have to, of course, avoid the self-hate that goes with, I can't believe you believe that.
Yeah. And I think it's just needing to listen to more of the recordings and needing to make more recordings.
Yep, make them every time an issue comes up, every time. And if you do the two chair exercise, record that.
Yeah. You know what? I had another question I had was, like, if I'm kind of doing something, like, I was actually thinking of using the recording subliminally, like if I'm, you know, doing work where I kind of have to concentrate, but, you know, just have the recording on the whole time.
Yes. I'm hearing from people that they do it. In fact, I think Michael has actually said on the show that he does it. And I've heard from several other people that they do it. And so that something is going, Chris was, you know, talking about the background, operating in the background. And so what happens when the recordings are going is that what's in the background is what's bringing clarity, rather than I'm focused on what I'm doing here. In the background are the voices of conditioning with their nonstop dissatisfaction. In the background now is a recording with nonstop encouragement.
And I just want to say one last thing is that when I'm having insomnia at night, I meditate and then I listen to my reassurance and then I listen to your guided imagery, and it's just incredible. You know, even if I fall asleep while I'm listening to it, it's such a different experience, you know.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Yep. I think we're on something, don't you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, thank you, and I'm grateful to have gotten on, and I'm just grateful for so much in my life. So
I hear you. I know exactly what you mean. It's a great thing. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Good night.
Okay. Good night. Thanks for joining us, Andrea. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear some helpful messages, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
What's this from Living Compassion?
If you've got a craving for fundraising and can't get enough of the good stuff, cruise and jet on the internet to www.sanghamarket.com.
That's sanghamarket.com for all of you squares out there.
Sangha Market, where you can sell, auction, buy, all to benefit Living Compassion. Check it out today.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. This is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi.
Hi. I can't believe I got on. You guys must be working some magic in there.
I'll tell you, it's a magical night, apparently.
I guess.
What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to call in because I haven't called in for some time, and just here listening to the open air program, doing my exercises, thinking about how the recordings are working and what people have been reporting, and how Actually, I was thinking about how I got bamboozled by the voices again today.
Aha. Uh-huh. So that got revealed as you were listening in? That occurred to
yeah.
you? Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. Because as we've been doing this process, you know, you make your commitments to yourself, and then I get to see how that does or doesn't happen.
Yes.
And what it's come down to lately, what I've seen very clearly, is that moment-by-moment choice in who I'm listening to.
Yes.
And
yes.
It seems like it gets a little more subtle, but around, you know, it's kind of easy to see around the recordings, you know, because that's something you're saying you're going to do every day.
Yes.
Or about this morning it was about meditate for 5 minutes first thing in the morning.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
so it's just, you know, I'm watching how that, you know, sometimes it comes into my awareness that I've made a commitment, and sometimes it doesn't even get into my awareness.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, whatever's going on will cover it over before I even really, you know, catch it.
Mm-hmm. And do you have extreme measures that you take to thwart that? For instance...
Well,
a big sign that hits you in the face as you try to get out of bed that says meditate or?
Well, I have some routines that I do, and so I leave things around. So, you know, my the first thing I do is exercise when I get up, and my recorder is, my headphones are right there where my exercise stuff is, so
uh-huh.
that I have to listen to the recorder. And I've gotten really good about that. You know, every once in a while it tries to talk me out of it, and it's like, no, no, now I know not to believe that. So one by one, like, things are happening like that where I'll go along and then I'll get bamboozled and then I'll realize what happened and then I'll know not to believe that again.
Yes, that's the power of constant recording, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And I think the act of recording is also just, it's a commitment that works in a way that allows me to attend to these things. A lot of, like, the tweets, I'm not, you know, I can turn off my phone or I can, you know, hit later or whatever, but the recorder is, it's like somehow it's more active. I can't really
yes.
explain it.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Well, and what to me, what you're talking about, what you're closing in on that is critical is I have these commitments and I'm going to keep them. And it doesn't matter, you know, all of the ways that I get bamboozled, all the times I get fooled, I get talked out of it, whatever it is just, it's another aperture that is being closed. So every
right.
time... Yeah, every time I see how I get fooled, I have that one. I'm not going to get fooled by that one again. And so
right.
it's all a very helpful part of the process in spite of what the voices want us to believe.
Yeah, and one of the things I've started to be aware of is that around these commitments, then conditioning just comes in and tells me what I should do. And someone interprets that as some obligation that's really hideous. And,
yes.
you know, it's like, you know, it just becomes a chore, right? Oh, I have
yeah.
to meditate. I have to, whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And what I'm seeing there is the mentor can come in and say, you know, do or don't do. It doesn't matter, but don't have a relationship with those voices.
Yes, so that is such a good point. So the voice comes in and says, oh, you should meditate. Okay, yeah, you're right. You know, meditation does work. It does help. So, okay, now you have to meditate. And what we fail very often to do is go back and remind ourselves that, no, actually, I want to. That's how it got on the list in the first place. And right. all of that other stuff is just a scam.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, when it puts it into the have-tos, then it gets I get hooked into it, and I put it off and I put it off until I'm so
yes.
tired or
yes.
I've got, you know, so many things on my mind, then it's really horrible. You know,
yes.
then it's uncomfortable and, you know, then it just kind of gets to be a conditioned thing instead of what I want to do.
Yes, yes. So for me, a helpful way through that is, for instance, I have a list of all of the things that I want to do every day. And it sits on my desk, and when I travel, it travels with me in my calendar. And I love paper and pens, and so I have pens for every color. And I mark off the things that I do every day. These are my commitments. This is what I want to do every day. And so I look at that list, and I figure out how tomorrow is going to go. So today, I look at how tomorrow is going to go. How am I going to fit those things in? Because those things are my relationship with me. Those are the things that take care of my heart. There are other things that I do, things that I want to do, enjoy doing, and willing to do, whatever. But the things that make it onto that list are the things that contribute to me having the life that I choose to have. And so one of the ways that I personally have gotten around that too tired business is that I do it anyway. And what I remind myself is it's miserable because I let myself get talked into waiting until I'm too tired. So because it's something I want to do and want to enjoy, when those voices start trying to talk me into later, then I need to be heads up because I don't want to not enjoy this time with myself doing the things that I've committed to do to have the life that I want to have. So,
yep.
Yeah, so where it's gotten now is pretty much I do those things before I do anything else in my day because I want my best energy to be available for my heart, not for a list of to-dos and shoulds from somewhere else.
Well, I couldn't say it any better than that. I'm probably not as, you know, there, but I'm seeing that opening that, you know, someone believes your life has to be configured a certain way and you have to do certain things in certain orders.
Right.
And, you know, it's just like somebody a long time ago on Open Air said she had this belief that you only could remove eggs from the egg carton in order. You know,
right.
you have to do everything a certain way. And it's like, who said? Oh,
yeah.
So, you know, it's anything is possible, and I'm finally starting to, you know, I'm starting to get a glimmer here that, yeah, it is, in fact.
Yes, and, you know, I realize I have not even a slightly paranoid approach to life. It's probably pretty clearly paranoid. The fact that so much of life is set up, society is set up to happen starting at 5 a.m., you know, kids expected to be in school at 7, leaving for school at 7 to be there at 7. You know, teachers needing to go off before dawn in order to do these. What is that? Where is that coming from? You know, I don't think it's an accident that life gets set up in a way that leaves the poor human body out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
It serves conditioning. It serves self-hatred, but it sure is the devil. I can't see that it serves the heart.
Right, right. And that's definitely my experience, too. So I have a commitment to, you know, it's just one of those things. It's my thing that I need to be at work really early. I'm like, well, who said? You know,
yeah.
So I actually go to work a little bit later, and the first thing I do in the morning is I'm doing exercise, and it makes me feel better. And
yes.
I'm realizing I want to do it. A year
yes.
ago, you couldn't have convinced me that I was going to get out of bed and start doing this.
Yes.
But here I am doing it, and it's like, oh, it's actually working. It feels good.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Somebody
yes.
wants to do it.
Yes, and the other part of that is you bring so much more than to everything that you do. You know, you're a better employee for having taken the time to take care of yourself first thing in your day. You know, you're a better everything. So even though the voices would want us to believe that that's self-centered and selfish and you're not blah, 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 in fact, it makes you more of exactly what all of us need you to be.
Right, right. Well, something to aspire to.
Yeah, well, yeah. I think you're way closer than mere aspiration.
Maybe more than the average bear. Well, I just want to express my deep, deep appreciation and gratitude for all the support. It's just been so helpful to me, and I'm building this relationship with the mentor, and it's something I never thought was possible. And you know,
and
it's wonderful.
It is. It seemed impossible, and here we all are.
Yep. Yeah, it's great to be doing it together.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Talk to you soon. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Greta. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're at about 4 minutes to the hour here, kind of that in-between spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you'd like to talk to another caller.
Well, we'll just have this next person know that we've got to get right to.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Okay, right to the point.
Right to the point.
Realness. I'm still working with being real.
Uh-huh. Okay. Do you have evidence of unrealness?
Well, not really. I don't really know when I'm not unreal. I just know that, it's at center, I can't really tell I'm at center, except that it just feels good.
Yes. Yes. So
trying to kind of seeing that there's a shutting down thing that I do that kind of steals my voice.
Uh-huh.
And my ability to kind of speak. I've been trying to write some emails. Okay.
Do you think you're doing that, or do you think that's being done to you?
Oh, karma. Deep karma.
Okay.
Deep, deep karma. I think it goes back generations.
Okay, good. I always have to correct people's language when they want to take ownership of things that they don't even actually understand.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut to the chase.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but it just kind of... right now my voice is being taken.
Uh-huh. And what are you seeing about that?
It's the king in the cabinet. It's seeking safety.
Uh-huh. So karmic conditioning, self-hate, find safety in your inability to express yourself.
Yes.
Okay. Well, then
it's not useful.
Go ahead.
It's cutting me off from everybody.
Well, then you know your assignment, right?
Amazingly, I don't think I do.
Well, I can tell you, your assignment is not to do that. Okay? So,
I don't know how I'm doing it.
Well, you're not doing it. No, you're not doing it. It's being done.
I'm seeing the effects of it. I'm not seeing the beginning steps. I'm not seeing... It's like I shut down, and once I'm shut down, you know, it can be weeks.
Okay, so here's the deal. You recognize when you're shut down?
Today I recognize I've been shut down for a while.
Okay, then my encouragement is to record everything about what it's like when you are shut down, what the world looks like, what voices you hear in your head, the choices that you make, how you're talked into and out of things, okay? So you get all of that down so that you will be far faster at recognizing it the next time that it happens. Then you look at what is the opposite of shutdown. So what is the opposite of shutdown?
Stopping.
Stopping?
Stopping. You know, just kind of sitting.
Well, that could fall into the category of shutdown, however, if you're
yes,
not careful.
Yes,
what,
it can.
What does not shutdown look like manifesting in a way that, say, I would recognize?
Dancing,
okay. Singing?
Sometimes.
Talking?
Yes.
Going?
Not so much lately.
Right, but not shut down would have an element of talking?
Okay, yeah, it's the seeking comfort. It's the, there's so many elements of my life that are all about being comfortable, being, you know, kind of stuffing.
Making conditioning comfortable.
Making me, you know, kind of shut up and be quiet.
Making conditioning comfortable.
Yeah.
So,
which is full circle because it feels real.
Yes. So
it feels like I'm that.
You know, well, yes, of course. And when you're identified with ego, you are that. So here's the secret, right? Once we know, so if I know that locking myself in my room, getting into my closet, closing the door, and sitting on the floor in the dark is an indication of depression, okay, then I know from my experience that being out in the sunshine, moving around is a way not to have that experience, then when I start reaching for that closet door and that light switch, instead, I grab my little running shoes and I head outside. It's what we run into is, of course, I don't want to, I don't feel like it. I'm not going to. And it's like if I said to you, I'm your doctor, and I said to you, you need to take one of these pills every morning of your life, or the consequences will be dire. And you want to live, then you're going to make sure you figure out how to take that pill every morning of your life, right?
Yes, willingness is the key.
Yeah. And so it doesn't matter if voices are saying, I don't feel like it, I don't want to. That's irrelevant. This is what I need to do, and therefore I will do it. It's like having small children, you know, and all you want to do is sleep, but they are up. And they are in pain or sick or having a nightmare or whatever it is, and so you drag yourself out of bed and you go in there and take care of them because that's what you have to do. And you have to do it because you want to do it. You want to do it more even than you want to sleep, which sometimes is hard to imagine. You with me?
I am. Still, you know, it's like beginner's path.
I'm
still at step one.
Yes. Yes. But fortunately, you've been at step one before many, many, many times. So it's an easier step one than it was the first time you got to step one. Yeah.
Thank you for taking me, Sherry.
Oh, you are so welcome. Let me know. Keep in touch.
I've been in line for 12 weeks. So I will get back in line and talk to you again and whenever it's my turn again.
Probably next week, actually. That'll be the way it plays out. Thanks, Beth.
Thank you,
Sherry. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, thank you for a great show.
Oh, you're very welcome, Michael. Thank you. Let's meet again.
Okay. I'll see you next week.
All right. Okay. Good night.
Good night.